It's raining. It's wet. Spring is just around the corner. There's still a touch of chill in the air. So that means it must be March. If it's March, it means it's time for March Madness, which means we are bringing you the first ever Movie Madness. Let's talk about it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. If this is your first time here, make sure you are liking this video, sharing it with your friends, subscribing to the channel, hitting the notification bell so you don't miss a single episode. And also, if you listen to this on your favorite podcast app, make sure you're leaving us a review, leave us a rating, all of that good stuff. Let us get in touch with us. Let us know how we can be making the show better. Now, as I mentioned, Movie Madness. What is that? Well, today we will be going over the intro, what it is, how we're setting it up, what the matchups are going to be like. But essentially, if you've seen March Madness, I would assume you have an idea of what Movie Madness has in store for you. Instead of 64, though, we're cutting it back to 32. This is a 32 team bracket, team being a movie, and they will go head-to-head to determine what is the best. Now, every Movie Madness bracket that we do, and we're not going to limit ourselves to just once a year. We will do them as frequently as they can be put out. You know, these are things I like to put a lot of time into, I like to put a lot of effort into, and so like it may not be feasible to just roll one right into the other, but we will do them as quickly as we can produce them. And so what we are looking at is 32 movies. We'll go head-to-head to determine a winner. And every single time we do a Movie Madness, there will be a theme related to it. All these movies will fit under a certain theme, whether that's horror movies, slasher movies, crime movies from the 70s, mob movies, adventure movies, you know, or just anything that like we can broadly categorize under one theme, we're going to do it. And so, I will take a moment to explain this year's theme, why we're doing it, and then I will tell you how all of this works. And so, this year's theme is horror remakes, and we are particularly looking at ones from the early 2000s, though there are a couple that stem like a little before 2000, and then some that stem into the 2010s. A lot of that simply is just to make sure that we actually had enough to fill out 32 teams, 32 movies. So we had to round some numbers. We had to incorporate some things that wouldn't necessarily just like didn't make it easy for us to come up with 32 if we just stuck with 2000 to 2010. Because it at least had to be things that, you know, there were movies that got remade, but it was like, it was a very loose adaptation, or it was like made for DVD, so it wasn't seen by a lot of people. I at least want these movies to be things that you have either seen, or when you see the video, you're like, oh, I remember that movie. And so I wanted to pick things that had some kind of notoriety behind them, some kind of studio involvement behind them, so that way it at least would have been a thing that you had a chance at seeing. And so why are we picking remakes? What's the deal with remakes? And I think it's because I'm a little fed up with the conversation surrounding like the modern movie landscape, in which I'm not saying I don't disagree with a lot of the criticism, or that I also haven't lofted this criticism myself. I just don't think it shows the full picture, right? And so I'm kind of sick of like all this commentary about, oh, movie, everything is just remakes now. Everything is just remakes and soft reboots and IP-driven and yada yada. Like, and I'm fine with people pointing out that problem. I certainly am someone who takes issue with that. The problem is that I think a lot of these people talk about this as if it is a new problem. And it isn't. Hollywood has always done this. When you look in, like, something gets popular, lots of people try to replicate that, right? And then when we reach this point where it's like, well, we don't really know, nothing that, like, is an original has really been taking off for us to do, so, like, I guess we'll just kind of go back to the remake thing, so that's what people, like, tend to like. And we seemingly go in cycles, right? In the late 90s, you have Scream. And people do everything they can to replicate Scream. And it's because we had a movie that was successful, right? It made lots and lots of money. Studios wanted a taste of that. In 2008, we got Iron Man. And Iron Man kicked something off, though it's not directly responsible. I wouldn't say until we get Thor and Captain America, and then the first Avengers movie is really when people are like, okay, this superhero thing is going to work. And then you get all kinds of things just trying to replicate that. But there's a chunk of time in the middle there where nothing was really taking off. And so what did studios do? They started remaking old classic horror movies. You know, you got a remake of My Bloody Valentine, of The Omen, Friday the 13th got a remake. You got remakes of Amityville Horror, all these sort of things. Things that, like, people never really thought that they would remake, and they did. And that's kind of where we're at right now. Like, the superhero thing is having diminishing returns. Nothing new and original is really taking off. And I would say, granted, that's because, like, Hollywood's not really giving it a chance to. And that's a conversation for a different day, not this video. But so what do we see? Like, we see this return to reboots, remakes, kind of going back into the well to things that they know have made money previously. And so while I agree that it is a problem, I do not like the narrative that this is the first time that this has ever happened. And I think a lot of people tend to lose sight of that. And it's because, like, they get so consumed in, like, just watching and reviewing movies, they don't look at cinema history as a whole. They don't look at it as, like, a thing that is constantly changing and sort of is cyclical and has patterns, right? You see this kind of, like, every 20 years where, like, things continually are just being recycled until we reach basically, like, a falling out period, and then that's when you get the movies that sort of revolutionize and change things, and then we move in a new era. So that's kind of where we are. This is why we are looking at these remakes of the early 2000s, kind of to show, like, this is not a new problem. But also, I grew up with a lot of these movies. A lot of these movies I definitely saw when I was younger, at a younger age. And so they also mean something to me. And for it to be included in this bracket, I have to have at least seen the original film and, like, be aware that there was a remake. Even if this is the first time I've seen the remake, I at least have to have seen the original film. I want to do that because, A, like, obviously we will need to talk about the comparisons between the remake and the original, but also just so that, like, we have some frame of reference for we know what we're talking about. So let's go over how these matchups are going to work, and then we'll talk about what the matchups are. So I know what you might be thinking. Well, if this is just a bracket full of movies that you've seen, like, you're just going to be picking the one that you like the best. That doesn't seem that fun. That doesn't seem that interesting. Like, what? How is that fun for anybody? You're just going to pick the movie you like the best. And while I'll grant you that that probably will end up happening a lot of the time, we have devised a series of categories in which we will hand out awards, right? The Junkhead Oscar, if you will. And there are 7 categories, so there can't be a tie, and whoever wins in the most amount of categories wins the matchup. And I know what you might be thinking. Well, you're just going to pick the movie that you like in each of these categories. And granted, there's probably nothing I can do to convince you that that's not what I'm doing, but I would like to put on the record that I think I can be somewhat objective about things. I think that, like, I can see a performance. Like, I think there's plenty of times, if you've watched things on this channel, where you can see, like, I have given credit where credit is due, even if it's not a movie I particularly enjoyed. Barbie, Poor Things, I think these are examples of that. When I talked about the Oscars and I did all that stuff, like, I'm pretty open about how, like, I didn't love those two movies, but I felt that they were deserving of, like, some of the things that they were up for. And so I do think it's entirely possible, when you see some of these categories, for even if it's a movie I don't like, that I think they still have a chance at winning some of these categories. Now, what are those categories? Here they are. So the first award that we will give out is for Best Overall Scene. Who has the best scene in a movie? Now, this is different. And some of these categories you will see stick around in other Movie Madness tournaments that we do. But some of them are going to be tailored specifically for the ones that we're working on currently. Best scene is one that will probably always stick around. What is the best scene of a movie? And bad movies can have good scenes. So there you go. A movie I do not like has a chance at winning a best scene. Best performance is the next award. Lots of bad movies have good performances. And I think this will all kind of make sense as the videos start rolling out, and you can kind of see how these breakdowns are shaking out. Obviously, there will be nominees and stuff like that, like not like official nominations of like, well, here are the five best scenes from this movie, and the five, like, I will just talk about it fairly generally and then award the winner for what I think is the best scene. Same with best performance. Like, sometimes a movie, we talked about this with Cillian Murphy and Oppenheimer. Sometimes I think a movie ensemble is way better than an individual performance. And so, if a bad movie has a good lead performance, and then the other movie that it's up against, because the way I decided it was all random, that movie has a chance at winning best performance if the other movie it's up against is an ensemble in which I don't think anyone really stands out. There's plenty of opportunities for movies I do not like to win awards. For example, Best Kill. This is an award that will be specifically tailored to this movie madness or horror madness movies in general. Bad movies can have good kills. Good movies have good kills. This will be entirely just like whatever one has the best one, they win. And we have an award for the best villain slash antagonist. Horror movie antagonists are typically more well known than the heroes. And so in a movie madness bracket where we're talking about horror films, I feel like this needs to be an award. This needs to be a thing that we are talking about and discussing to kind of show, like, these are the icons that have lived on, not necessarily our protagonist. And who of these matchups has the best one? And then we have what I'm deeming the eye roll award, which is for best writing. Whatever movie causes me to roll my eyes the least at ridiculous plot points or stupid things that get shoehorned in because it's a franchise movie, whatever one does that the least, whatever one I don't sit there and audibly groan while watching it because of all the ridiculous things that you have to believe in order for the movie to work for you, you're going to win the award. Hands down. Like, there's lots of, I know the matchups. I know a lot of these movies. When certain things happen, I go, oh, come the fuck on. But if you can do that the least amount of times, you will win this award. And then our final two awards that will be going out. One is, again, specifically tailored for this group of movies. And then the last one potentially will stick around and will be one that we revisit from time to time. The first one being the Breath of Fresh Air Award. These are all remakes. Which one of these movies is probably the better remake? Which one is doing what I feel a remake should be doing, which is either like updating a movie from modern times or putting a new spin on that original concept, or just like, I want, like, most of the time, I want tone to remain consistent, but I'm fine with things being updated. I like when things are updated for the modern era. I like when you have like an interesting twist on the original concept. So like stuff that I think that makes the, or when you are adding something, right? When you are taking a movie from the 70s where they couldn't do certain things, they just had very limitations based off of budgets and stuff, and you can add some elements to the movie to make it better, I'm fine with that in remake as well. So the Breath of Fresh Air Award will be one for who does the best at revitalizing life into this movie, into this franchise, and that makes you like kind of excited to see what they would do next. And how is it as a remake? Is it as a reboot? Whatever you want to call it. Does it breathe fresh life into something that was previously no one really cared about? And our last award is the Second Chance Award. Basically, will I watch your movie again? And this is the last award because I feel like in a lot of these, this is the one that will be the deciding factor. Will I watch your movie again? Or do I feel like it deserves a second chance? Do I feel like there's something in here where if I watch it again, it will click for me? That's mainly what this award is about. And so, you have 7 chances to win awards. The first 1 to 4 wins. Let's talk about some of the matchups. So again, with these matchups, here's basically how it was decided. I took the 32 movies, I did some of my research, pulled from memory, crunched all the numbers, ran the Cornfield Chase song from Interstellar so I could make sure that I got everything properly calculated. And that's how I got my 32 movies. And then everything from there is random. I just put it into a random bracket generator. The seeding is random, so if you're unfamiliar with college basketball, the best team, or really just sports in general, the best team gets the number one seed, and then the worst team would get like the 32 seed. Obviously, college basketball is broken up into different quadrants and whatever. But I didn't decide any of that. I didn't decide what the best movie was going into it. I didn't decide what the worst movie was going into it. I just let all the seeding be random so that all the matchups would be random. And it should be stated that there is a movie that I purposefully left out because I knew that it would win. So if you are in here wondering when we will talk about the Evil Dead remake, it's not in this bracket. I love that movie. I think that does exactly like what a good remake can do, which is, even though I recently stated that I think a good remake is like tonally consistent and that movie is tonally not consistent, it at least took the original concept and was like, we're just going to play it completely straight. And we're going to play it as a horror movie, no comedy, no nothing. We're just going to play it as horrifying as it can possibly be. And I loved that. I thought that was a great, great twist on that movie. But that's not in here, you know? We're not talking about that movie in here. It would win. I just, based off of seeing what's here, it would win. So there's no point in including it because that would just ruin the fun of the bracket. And so, here are your matchups. And it also should be stated that this is just how the matchups are slated on the bracket. This is not necessarily the order in which the videos will come out. Some of these require a little more work than the others, because if I've never seen the movie and I have to like watch it and then I have to go into like research mode and like pull clips and stuff like that, it's going to take me a little bit longer, whereas some of these movies I've seen dozens of times and I know what I will reference. So these are not necessarily the order in which the videos will come out. These are just the order in which they're on the bracket. Now, how long will this run? It runs as long as it runs, you know? March Madness runs until, like, the beginning of April. We might take a little bit longer than that. Again, it all depends on how quickly things get filmed, edited, and put up. So once videos are done, they will go up and you can have them to watch. But I'm not promising any sort of timeline for anything. Like, I want these videos to be the best they can be. I'm not going to rush to get them out because I've set some arbitrary deadline. Enough of that. The first matchup, I Spit on Your Grave, the 2010 remake of the 70s exploitation movie, versus My Bloody Valentine 3D from 2009. Now, while going over these, I'm going to try to not let too much of my opinion slip through of these movies, and so that there's at least something interesting for you to gain from watching the episodes. So, this will largely just be a reading of the matchups. The second matchup is The Stepfather, a 2009 remake of an 80s kind of slasher, I guess, versus April Fool's Day, which was a... This is one where I was kind of really like towing the line of what is acceptable, because this was a made-for-TV remake, but I needed 32 movies, so... And I really like the original, so it got in. I've never seen it, so we'll see. Our third matchup is going to be The Hitcher from 2007, starring Sean Bean, a remake of the Rutger Hauer movie, versus Willard, which is a movie that I'm sure a lot of you don't know about or have forgotten about, starring Crispin Glover, that is really good. Really good. So that is that matchup. Matchup number four is the Amityville Horror remake starring Ryan Reynolds versus The Crazies from 2010, which is a remake of a George Romero movie from the 70s. The next matchup, we have The Town That Dreaded Sundown. This is another one of those post-2010 remakes, but that I have heard really good things about, so that's why I included it. It's also a reason for me to watch it, and I want to watch it. Versus the remake of The Wicker Man, starring Nicolas Cage. The next matchup is House of Wax, the 2005 remake of, like... This is one of the few remakes that's from a movie that's like older than the 70s. I think this original film came out in like the 40s or 50s, and then it got remade in 2005 starring the one and only Paris Hilton. So look forward to this. And it's going up against It's Alive, which is one of my favorite, like, B-movies of the 80s. And so there is a remake. This could be another stretch where I think this also was a made-for-TV remake, but again, I needed 32 movies. The next matchup features a film that I've probably seen the most on here, which is the 2009 remake of Friday the 13th, which is going up against the 2006 remake of The Omen. So two pretty big heavy hitters in terms of remakes of the 2000s. So that will be an interesting one. Next pairing, we have Carrie from 2013, again, dipping beyond 2010, but this is a movie that I'm actually quite fond of, that I remember seeing in theaters. This was a prime movie for me, like, as a teenager, being like, oh, yeah, this is when I'm really getting into horror, and it's like, this is a new horror movie, I gotta see it. And then it is paired with the remake of When a Stranger Calls, which is a movie that I saw a lot as a kid and kind of made me afraid of ever wanting to be a babysitter. Next matchup is Sorority Row, which is a remake of The House on Sorority Row from 2009, versus the 1998 remake of Psycho. Now, this movie is the only one that dips before 2000, and I also think it's an interesting juxtaposition in terms of how you can do a remake, whereas large portions of this movie are just shot for shot remaking the original. And so I think that is an interesting way in which you can do a remake, so I think it bears discussion. And also it has stars Vince Vaughn. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I was interested to revisit it. And yeah, it is a different way in which you can approach remaking a movie, so I think it bears some discussion. The next pairing, we have Dawn of the Dead, Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, a remake of one of my favorite movies of all time, versus The Last House on the Left from 2009. Fond memories of watching The Last House on the Left. We'll talk about it during the episode, but I look forward to this matchup. Next, we have... Oh, I guess I misspoke about when I was talking about House of Wax. Don't listen to me. Next, we have the matchup of 13 Ghosts from 2001, which I did not even know was a remake until doing this research, versus The Wolfman from 2010, starring Benicio Del Toro and... Anthony Hopkins, I think, is in this. Is he? Yeah. I'm pretty sure. So yeah, there's one where The Wolfman, you know, 1941, a remake of a movie much older than the 70s, similar to House of Wax. It's interesting. I think these are the movies that I think are the most interesting when you're talking about remakes, because it's like, just the techniques of the time are way different than they are now, because we're you know, approaching 100 years removed from The Wolfman. And so I think these remakes are fairly interesting. And I remember when I saw this movie in 2010 thinking that it was incredibly boring. So 14 years later, revisiting it, I'm interested to see if my opinion has changed. Haven't seen it since. The next one on the list, we have Halloween, Rob Zombie's Halloween from 2007, versus a remake of John Carpenter's The Fog, which came out in 2005. I love Rob Zombie's Halloween, but I will save all thoughts and opinions for that episode. Next up on the list, we have Fright Night from 2011, starring Colin Farrell, versus Poltergeist from 2015, starring Sam Rockwell. I'll save my thoughts on Poltergeist for the episode. The next matchup, again, these two are also pretty big heavy hitters in terms of remakes. We have The Hills Have Eyes from 2006 versus The Nightmare on Elm Street remake from 2010. Those were big movies for me as a kid, both of them. I remember rewatching and being terrified of both of them. So these are, it's kind of funny how, like, some of these get pitted against each other, and it was completely random. And some of these are, like, really big movies for me as a kid that I would have watched a lot. And speaking of, the next two, the same way. Like, these two were also movies that I watched a lot as a child. Also some pretty heavy hitters in terms of remakes. We have the remake of Black Christmas versus the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. For those of you who are unaware, that 1977-76 movie, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, is my favorite movie of all time. I love that movie, but I would have seen this remake first. So it will be interesting to see. I haven't revisited it in quite some time, but this was my introduction to Leatherface, to that idea, and I remember being scared shitless of it. So I'll be interested to revisit this. Black Christmas, I've revisited, and I hate it, but I'll save it for the episode. And then our last pairing, again, you can tell, kind of stretching things thin here. Our last pairing is Prom Night, which is a remake of an 80s slasher movie that I'm not particularly fond of. But I do think this remake gets into an interesting trend as well around this time that we will need to talk about, which is like the PG-13 horror movie, which seemingly is gone because everything is just made for Netflix now. So like, it's an interesting discussion that we will get into when we talk about those movies, and it is paired with Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, which is a Guillermo del Toro-produced horror movie that I believe is based off of, like, an old children's show, like a children's anthology show of full of, like, scary stories. So, yeah, again, like, in a perfect world, this is not a movie that I would have included. It's not, like, a particularly – it's not like, a your standard remake, if you will. It'd be the same as me including like the Goosebumps movies on here, I guess, but I've never seen it, so we will certainly see what it is all about when we talk about that matchup. But those are the matchups. Those are the matchups. That's Movie Madness. That is at least season one, if you will, of Movie Madness, and the movie showdowns will begin shortly. As soon as they get edited and uploaded, you will have access to them. Let us know what you think about these matchups in the comments down below. What would you be picking? What would you be substituting out? What did I get wrong? All of that stuff. Let us know down in the comments below. If you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, make sure you are reaching out to us and letting us know, answering those same questions. That is all I have for today. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. Like this video, share it with your friends, subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to this, leave us a review, leave us a rating, get in touch. All of that. And until next time, keep watching good movies. Stay safe out there. Enjoy the madness. Goodbye, everybody.